Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to summer 2017. That's right. It's Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, the unofficial kickoff to summer. And when I think of summer, I think of great Disney vacations. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Ricky is freshly returned from Walt Disney World last weekend. But first, let's have a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Let me just tell you about the Magic for Less. They are the best at what they do. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them not only for the amount of trips they book each and every year for their guests, but for the level of guest service they give each and every time with those trips. They treat them like their own. They want to make sure each guest has the best experience possible and, as always, at the lowest cost imaginable. I'm going to encourage you this week to drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out a free, no obligation quote, let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and you and I are going to be working together planning a great Disney vacation. Don't forget, summer is a great time to get down to Walt Disney World. You got the water parks, great pools, you got long park hours, and of course, Pandora, Happily Ever After, Star Wars events, all kinds of fun this summer. Come on down and see us. So drop by themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at AmeriPriseAdvisors.com/drew.baker. AmeriPrize Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1176 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. That's right. It's the official podcast of summer 2017. If you didn't know that. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BRGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Thanks for dropping on in. We're going to talk some Walt Disney World and some very, very current Walt Disney World today because Ricky has just returned and she's going to tell us about all the fun she had last weekend down at the World minus Pandora. You're going to get your Pandora fix. If you're like me, you're trying to avoid the spoilers, but I mean, that is going to be tough for me here over the next couple of weeks. Because I want to see everything. At least I won't be able to see it. An audio podcast.
You won't be able to see it. That's true.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the good thing about it. That's why I do love audio, is that you paint the picture in your head yourself. So, maybe it won't be so bad. So anyway, joining me today to share her recent trip, fact-finding mission, in fact, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Ricky, summer's here.
It is, and I am at Volcano Bay today, so make sure to follow along for all the fun tweets and posts and all that from Volcano Bay, and we'll see how this goes today. Yay!
Wait, what's this Volcano Bay out at Typhoon Lagoon? Yeah. What?
No, definitely not Typhoon Lagoon. Volcano Bay. It's at that shadowy place that you don't like to talk about.
That's right. Mufasa said never go over there. And I was like, you got that right, Mufasa. I'm not going over there.
No, but me and Pam are. And we're going to have a good time today. So we supposedly have a cabana. We'll see how that goes too.
Nice. You say cabana, my ears perk up because I'm so ready for this cruise in like a month.
Cabanas! What up?
Eggs Benedict every morning. My cholesterol will be shooting through the roof for 7 days. It's going to be ugly. Anyway.
Definitely ugly.
Cannot wait to cruise. Get ready, folks. We're cruising in about a month. It's not much longer now. We're getting ready. I got to start on those fish extenders. But anyway, let's not worry about that.
We are so behind.
You can't do that on a holiday weekend. You know, it's a holiday weekend. So. All right. Anyway, so Ricky, you just went down. So when did you arrive at Walt Disney World? I think you left like last Friday night, right? Did you drive or fly?
I did. I flew.
Nice.
So I actually had a so this trip kind of came about because so I had been planning all along to go to Memorial, you know, Disney World on Memorial Day weekend. Brian and I have done that every year just about since we moved down here to Atlanta. So, of course, why would we break the tradition? So we were planning on going down there. And then, of course, we found out that Pandora was opening that weekend. And so we were like, cool. And then we were like, oh, no, it's going to be really busy. So so that was the fun there. So then when Disney announced that they were going to have annual pass holder previews, Disney didn't announce it. I saw it on Twitter. But when that was kind of leaked that they were having annual pass holder previews, I signed myself up for the preview. And so I got into it. And I had gone to a wedding for one of my friends in June of last year. And because I delayed my flight, Southwest was nice enough to give me a $300 credit plus the credit back for the flight that I delayed. So I had like $400 to spend Southwest.
Oh man. Yeah. See, I need that. That used to would have been my worst nightmare, but now I'm like, yes, give me some vouchers. Yeah, that's good.
Yes, exactly. I had no problem accepting their vouchers when they said, we need somebody to delay their flight. And I was like, right here. So, I totally took advantage of it. So actually that was how a couple of months back in November, I went to Washington, D.C. I had used my credit for that. And then my credit actually expires at the end of June or sometime in June. So I hadn't used the rest of it yet. So I thought, well, I still have this money, so I might as well. I have the annual pass holder preview. Might as well see if I can get a cheap flight down there. I'm going to do it. You know, like, let's just go. I have it free. Let's go. I got a cheap flight. So down I went. And I literally left on Friday after I got off work. And I came back on Sunday evening. So, I mean, it was 36-ish hours in Walt Disney World. But it was totally worth it. I have no regrets. So
you, when you go down for these quick weekends, you stay with your brother who lives down there, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. I totally say, Casey, I'm sleeping on your couch. And that is what happens. Or I'm sleeping on the air mattress. But since Brian wasn't with me, I just slept on the couch. So, yeah.
So let me ask you this, because I think, you know, for most of us, and I mean for you as well, you know, going down there, staying in the resort, getting away is what a Walt Disney World vacation is all about. But this is one of those things, like you said, 36 good hours, maybe 40 hours. You know, you're down there, like, you're on a mission. You know, you want to see Pandora. You want to experience Happily Ever After. There's a lot of new things.
Yes.
And you're not necessarily lounging and vacationing.
No.
So kind of talk us through the mindset going into something like this, because it is hectic, but it's also, I'd imagine, a ton of fun at the same time.
Yes. So it's literally, let me see how much I can cram into a 40-hour time period. That includes sleep. So, I mean, you know, I had planned, of course, the Pandora part. That was really why I was going down there. I was going down there for Pandora. So that was a good chunk of my time. So I knew I was going to Animal Kingdom on Saturday because that's when my time was for that day. And after I had, you know, made my slot, I started hearing about everybody going down. I had wished that I had made my slot for earlier in the day because they weren't really kicking anybody out. So, you know, that part was nice. And I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but I will say, like, the nice part about when I was there was because they had previews all week and everybody else, had fast passes to ride Flight of Passage. And I don't know why, but they didn't give us fast passes, so we could just ride whenever we wanted. So that was kind of nice, I will have to say. But so, you know, I had that plan in order, and so I knew that was what I was going to do. And then I realized that Happily Ever After had just premiered, so I said, okay, I'm going to hit. I know what I have to do. I'm only going to be there at night one night, which is Saturday night. So I'm going to have to go from the preview all the way over to the Magic Kingdom so I can see Happily Ever After. So that was seriously my plan. And I had no plan for Sunday because I really didn't know what I was going to do. I was just kind of going to go by the seat of my pants. I had kind of planned to go to the Flower and Garden Festival to Snack Around World Showcase. That was my initial plan of that day. So I had a loose plan was what I was going to go into it with.
And I think that's what you gotta
have. But as you know, plans can change.
Exactly. So. Well, when you're there, especially when you're there solo and you're there to do, you know, just do a weekend, you got to go in with, you know, somewhat of a plan because you got to, you know, otherwise it'll get away from you. You'll waste an hour here, 1 hour there, and all of a sudden the weekend's over. But you do have to be fluid. You got to be, you know, able to change your plans on a moment's notice. Now, you mentioned we're not going to get into Pandora a whole lot, but did you not get to see Pandora at night? Because it sounds like you went over to Happily Ever After.
Correct. So they were actually, as far as my understanding, they were kicking annual pass holders out before the night set. So I don't think anybody has seen it really at night yet. So as far as I understand, again, y'all have to remember, I've been avoiding spoilers up until this point. Now give them to me. I'll take all the spoilers you want to pass my direction because I've been there. So now I want to know what everybody thinks about the land and everything like that. But I had been avoiding everything, so I don't think anybody has been there up until this weekend, up until tomorrow at night. So tomorrow night, I will definitely be there at night. You can bet your bottom dollar that I'll be there at night. So I'm excited about that. I'm also kind of nervous about how crowded it's going to be. But we'll get that bridge when we get there. So.
Yeah, it's one of those things, though. I think that what, you know, is I'm standing back, not getting to go down until July 3rd. You know, it'll still be crazy because this thing's going to be busy because it's going to be everybody's first time in there over the next year, you know, because that's when everybody had their vacations planned. But I think what I'm starting to really get excited about, not necessarily the flights of passage or the Na'vi boat ride, but I think it's just spending time in the land with the environment and with the lights, you know, and seeing it. Now, I do got to see Avatar. I'm making myself watch Avatar once I get some time here over the next couple weeks, because I want to appreciate it. But, you know, you've been in there now. And
I have.
You've seen Avatar, right?
I've seen it once, yes.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on, like, our listeners who are going down over the next 6 months, maybe that are unfamiliar with the movie? Is this something that's going to enhance the experience by seeing Avatar? Or is it something that, you know, it just looks like, you know, a cool place? What do you think?
So I have to say, I saw Avatar after they made the announcement that Disney was, you know, was partnering with James Cameron. I had no desire to see Avatar, honestly. I really didn't care to see it, but it was on TNT or TBS or, you know, one of those channels that FX that plays, you know, movies like that all the time. I think it might have been FX, but anyway, so I recorded it on the DVR and I just decided, yeah, what the heck, I'll just watch it. It was just one of those days. So I honestly, it was, I mean, it's been a couple years at least since I saw the movie. So I have a general knowledge of what is in land, you know, who the Na'vi are, what banshees are, you know, that kind of thing. But I, honestly, to this day, I really, and I, you know, I remember a little bit of the story-ish, but really the movie hasn't stuck with me. I mean, I haven't seen it since, and, you know, I didn't remember a lot about the movie. I just knew kind of basics about the movie. I don't think that if you haven't seen the movie, I don't think that you're going to be missing a whole lot at this point. I don't know what is coming from the future movies. So I don't, and I, you know, obviously we've heard that the future movies are going to kind of still tie into all of this. So maybe there will be more as the future movies come out. But at this point, I don't think you have to have seen Avatar to enjoy the land. Does that make sense?
It does. And, but Laurie's
like,
saying,
there are,
you know,
pieces that, yeah, you, that like, it helps to kind of know a couple of things, but overall, I don't think you have to know you. I don't think you have to have seen the movie to enjoy and experience the land overall. Whereas I think with, like, Harry Potter, yeah, it's great if you've seen the movies, and I think you get, or it's great if you haven't seen the movies, but I think you get so much more out of it by having seen the movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, the correlation is much stronger, I think, in Harry Potter, in Wizarding World of Harry Potter, than I think it is right now with Avatar at this point.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you just experience it on different levels. I think Star Wars Land will be the exact same way, that you'll be blown away as somebody who hasn't ever seen a Star Wars movie. But when you can see that, oh, there's blue milk from Episode 4, or there's, you know, K2SO from Rogue One. I mean, you know, some other person might say that's a robot, you know, but you appreciate, like, the story around him. The, you know, who's he with? What's the environment? What's the context? I think that's what's cool about Disney with all their lands. You know, you can appreciate them on so many levels depending on how involved you are with the story.
I do wonder about Star Wars Land in the fact that, of course they're going to have to appeal to someone who hasn't seen the movies, because yes, there are people out there who haven't seen them. Up until a few years ago, I was one of them. So I definitely think that they're going to have to appeal to that, but then they're also going to have to appeal to the uber nerd. And I mean that lovingly, but, you know, who knows, like, you know, everything about the canon and everything about, you know, all of Rebels and all about the Clone Wars and all about, like, all the little intricate pieces of the puzzle. That, I think, is going to be a lot harder of a thing to try to do in the long run. I think that they're going to succeed at it. I just think that it's going to be a lot harder to appeal to both the uber nerds and the people who have never seen the movie before. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Cause it does have to be there, because that's what Star Wars fans like me are expecting. And because that's what we expect out of Disney, you know, we expect all the little details.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. So, all right. Well, overall though, let's talk about stepping away from Pandora. So how are the crowds this whole weekend? Because, you know, you were there the weekend prior to the unofficial start to summer, Memorial Day here in the United States. You have these AP, you know, sneak peeks for Pandora. You have some media events getting ready to get rolling. Was it crazy? I mean, because usually late May is not too bad before Memorial Day.
You know, it's really hard for me to judge it because I really didn't do a lot of attractions necessarily. The parks were crowded, but no more so than kind of what I'm used to at this point. So because, you know, everybody and their brother seems to be going down to Walt Disney World as of late, like, they didn't feel overly crowded, but it didn't feel like throngs of humanity were on me, except for when I was trying to see Happily Ever After, and we'll get to that. But I also think that that's partly because it's brand new. So, you know, I think the crowds were average. You know, they were heavy, but not overly so. And I did a lot of things that didn't necessarily mean I had to wait. Like, I waited like maybe 30 minutes to ride Everest. And I waited some time to do the meet and greet characters and stuff like that. But a lot of it, I really didn't do a lot of waiting in line for. With Pandora, obviously it was only annual pass holders. So like, that land will never be that empty ever again. So, you know, there's that too, which kind of skewed my thoughts of the whole process. But I didn't think it was overly crowded, but I also didn't think it was like, wow, it's really empty here today. You know, it's never that way anymore.
Yeah, it never is. All right. So let's talk about Happily Ever After. Let's jump over to the Magic Kingdom. New fireworks show has replaced Wishes, getting very, very positive reviews. The floor is yours. What did you think?
Okay. So I have to tell you, I loved Happily Ever After. I had a bit of an issue so we got to the Magic Kingdom about a little bit before 8 o'clock. Happily Ever After started at 9. My brother had made us fast passes for Haunted Mansion and Big Thunder. So we went and did that Haunted Mansion, and then we went and did Big Thunder immediately after. And by the time we were done with both of those, it was about, I want to say, like 8:35, 8:40. And we were making our way to Main Street. And usually at about that time, you're still going to be able to find decent spots on Main Street. Not great, great spots, but, you know, it's not completely packed. Main Street, granted, it was a Saturday, and like I said, it was the day before, you know, I think it was the weekend after they debuted it. So like, it's still brand new. And it was so packed. Like, I mean, we should have stopped when we walked into the park. And looking back now, that would have made way more sense. Just, you know, say, forget about the fast passes. We're just going to stop here and wait in line for, you know, an hour or so. Or wait in a spot for an hour or so before Happily Ever After. And that's probably what I would have done. But, you know, what was strange was that the cast members that were there, they just kept pushing us further down Main Street. We got to Casey's and they just said, keep going down, keep going down. And they actually, I don't understand what they were doing. They were actually sending people that were trying to get down to see the fireworks and exit the park and go to Casey's. They were saying to tell everybody, go through Casey's. And I'm sitting here going, This is not a good idea. Yeah. Like, this is a tiny restaurant, and trying to tell people go through Casey's, like, to get down further down Main Street to either exit or go find a spot or whatever. Like, this seems like a terrible idea. So at that point, I was like, forget this. I don't need to see the fireworks that bad this weekend. You know, I will see it next weekend. I'll plan this better, whatever. So we started to walk, and I was just about to give up, and I said, you know what, forget it. So. We were walking towards Tomorrowland in a pathway that we finally found. Well, the pathway ended up having a rope in front of, like, blocked off. So really you weren't supposed to go past the rope anymore. That's where you were standing for Happily Ever After. And it was on Main Street, and, you know, it was kind of far back, all things considered. It was just a little bit further down, from Casey's. And, I'm short, so I can't see anything. You know, that's kind of the curse of being a short person. And there's nobody's shoulders I can sit on. So, Mike, let me get on your shoulders.
That's it.
I can't do that to you. So, for me, and I know fireworks are in the sky, but, you know, I wanted this first time to see Happily Ever After. I wanted to be actually able to see the show without really being totally blocked from the actual projections. You know, now further in the future, I may not care as much, but this first time I really wanted to see it. So again, I said to my brother, you know what, just let's forget it. Let's just go. You know, yeah, we had a spot, but I'll just see it later. So we were walking that more again. We ended up going a different way, walking towards Tomorrowland. And my brother said, oh, this is about where we stopped to watch it when we watched it. And it was a pathway where, you know how they put the masking tape down and they say, okay, everybody, you know, you have to be behind in front of the masking tape in order to be able to be able. Otherwise, you have to keep walking. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we pushed our way as best we could into the masking tape area. I mean, it was packed, but we pushed our way into it. So the pathway behind us was open, and then there was another set of people that were sitting on the ground waiting for the fireworks back there. Well, the cast member told them all to stand up. Well, at this point, I saw my shot. So we scooted back, and I had a perfect view of the fireworks at that point because I got to stand up on the curb at that point. So I did not have anybody obstructing my view at a little bit, but not nearly what it was going to be, you know, the other way. So I honestly lucked into the perfect situation on Main Street USA for these fireworks. And I was so incredibly happy that I was able to see it this way because it was totally worth all the aggravation, all the headaches, everything. Happily Ever After is fantastic. I cannot say enough great things about it. I liked Wishes. I really did. It was a little schmaltzy for me, but I liked Wishes a lot. I loved Happily Ever After. I just had this smile on my face. I was grinning from ear to ear because it really was happy. That's what the show is. It's just happy. It showcases all of your favorite characters, some that you wouldn't think necessarily would be showcased, such as, you know, they've got Hercules, they've got Hunchback in there, and they actually have music from Hunchback. They of course have newer movies. They have Zootopia a little bit featured in there. They have a great scene from Moana featured in there. I know a lot of people, they did not have Let It Go in there, which kind of made me very happy because they did have a song from Frozen, but they did not have Let It Go, which I thought was, you know, really smart on Disney's part because, you know, the Let It Go fatigue has definitely, you know, gotten to people, I think. It just, I, So I have to tell you the part that I really loved. There was a part with the genie that I absolutely loved. They kind of made the castle light up like kind of like a casino, like a slot machine type thing. I mean, it was like lights shining everywhere and everything like that. The effects that they used on the castle really were fantastic and meshed very well with the fireworks. They did a fantastic job. Matter of fact, there's a scene with Maleficent where she's breathing fire and they kind of shoot off like a laser. And then where the laser beam hits, a firework explodes on the kind of the ground of the Magic King of the Cinderella castle. It was so incredible, like just what they did. But my favorite part, and I know this is totally gonna sound nerdy, but so in Tarzan, there's a song called Trash in the Camp. And I know this song very well because I was a huge NSYNC fan. And NSYNC sang Trash in the Camp. They did the music for that song. And so when Trash in the Camp came on, my face just was like, I was so excited because that's not a song that you would expect to see in a, you know, fireworks spectacular at the Magic Kingdom. Like, it's just this obscure song that really not a lot of people know. But for someone like me, I was like, yes, this is awesome. So I really loved it. I audibly gasped. There's Tink when Tinkerbell flew out. Like, I wasn't expecting it. And I knew she was in the show, but, like, I wasn't expecting her to fly out when she did. So they did a fantastic job. I really can't say enough really great things about the fireworks show. You cannot miss Happily Ever After. It's really, really good.
So at the end of the show, did they play bye, 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 bye?
They
should have done that.
No, they did not. That would have made me pretty happy, but unfortunately not tied to a Disney movie. So,
yeah, you'd have shrieked a second time. This would have been like, this one's just for Ricky Niblett. That's awesome. I can hear the joy in your voice, though, and that's great because I think what Disney has done, and they're missing it with the parade right now. They need, and the rumor is Paint the Night is packed up.
I hope,
because I think the Magic Kingdom needs a nighttime parade and a fireworks show. I think that, especially in the summer, that's like my summer nights. You know what I'm saying? Like on my Disney vacation, you have your fun, the sun sets, you do your Jungle Cruise, you go around and do a Pirates, you maybe ride Dumbo at night, maybe catch the last spin on the train. You know, you do Big Thunder at night, but then like you settle in at like, you know, see the fireworks at 10, watch that last parade at 11 o'clock. I mean, there is nothing better. And right now they're missing the parade, but it sounds like, I mean, I can hear the joy in your voice that this fireworks show is going to leave people humming and singing and, you know, with good thoughts as they're leaving the Magic Kingdom now.
Absolutely. It's just, like I said, it's just a happy show. Like it really is. It's just so happy. And I know that, some people have complained about, you know, the music is too poppy, like the actual Happily Ever After song. That didn't bother me at all. I really liked the song. I thought it fit well with everything that they were trying to do. You know, it's a different show than Wishes was. I mean, you know, it's definitely very different. But it's not different in a bad way. It's not different in a good way. It's just different. It's got a whole different vibe than Wishes had. And that's okay. You know, I thought it was fantastic. And like I said, you know, I don't necessarily stop for the fireworks, but you know, I might actually stop and watch the show again. I mean, that's how much I liked it. I mean, you know, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like, I really don't deal well with crowds like that. Like they kind of make me nervous. Like when you're really crowded like that, I do have like a claustrophobia type thing, and I don't like being stacked on top of people like that. So, you know, I don't choose to watch the fireworks very often because of that. And also just cause I don't feel the need to watch them every time. But you know, if I'm walking past Main Street and they're about to start the fireworks and I can get into a good spot, I'm absolutely going to stop and watch them.
Well, a couple of things too. The music, you know, if you want to hear the main song for Happily Ever After, it's available on Apple Music. So if you're an Apple Music subscriber, it's there. You can download it for, I think, a buck or two. So that's cool. Now, the one other thing. So this is obviously a show that has the projections. Yes. Are the projections incredibly important to the show, or is this something you can see from a distance where, you know, because I think the projections are hugely important for the Star Wars fireworks. Are they equally as important for this?
I think that they are. And that's not to knock it if you want to see the fireworks from a different location, like you wanted to see them from the back of the castle, or whatever. And I'm not sure how far back, you know, you need to be in order to get the gist of it. Like, I don't know where that cutoff point would be. But I can't imagine not seeing this show and not seeing the projections. Does that make sense? Like, you'll enjoy the show the way it is, and you'll get something out of it, even if you don't see them. But I think the projections just add so much to the show that I think you'll be doing yourself a disservice if you don't see it at least once with the projections.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Then you can do whatever you want. At least once, stop and see it with the projections.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, you're going to want to see it for the first few times, you know, fully, you know, up close in a good location. But then I think as the show's been there for a year or two, you know, and it's like your second or third time in the Magic Kingdom, you know, that might be the time where you're riding the TTA and you're just enjoying the fireworks, or you're on the speedway, you know, and you're watching it from the cars, you know, because that's how Wishes got for me. You know, it was like,
that's how Wishes got for me too.
Yeah. We'd stop and see it like once a year for real, you know, right up there. We saw everything kind of dead center, but then it became something like, oh, well, this is fun as we're riding attractions. And I think it'll die down, but it sounds like to me, best advice is get there about an hour early and just stake out your claim and, you know, just say that it's worth it in the end. Right.
Absolutely. I would say, especially for now, make sure you stake out your claim about an hour ahead of time. If it's really important to you to see the fire, like the whole show, the way it's meant to be seen. Yeah. You want to stake your spot out about an hour ahead at the very, you know, I would say 45 minutes at the very latest. So otherwise you're going to start having trouble.
All right. So now you mentioned too that you had a new dining experience for you. Now, not a new dining experience really for Walt Disney World, but you ate at the Brown Derby Lounge. And
I did.
You kind of explained how that came about. So how did it come about to end up here for that meal?
So I told y'all that I was headed to Epcot, right, on my second day. But at first I wanted to go to Hollywood Studios because I wanted to meet Baby Groot and, you know, Star-Lord. So, you know, I have to say it was the most awkward like experience ever, because like I'm there by myself, first of all, and I wanted to shoot video because I want to get video for the Mouse for Less. And so like I'm there with my camera and like I'm trying to get video of the whole thing, and like it's just awkward because I'm a girl by myself and I didn't want him to think like I was hitting on him.
You should have told. You should have had a sign like prom question mark or something like that. That would have been perfect.
Like I didn't want him to think that I was one of those like, you know, Chris Pratt fangirls that was like, oh my God, I love Chris Pratt and you kind of look like Chris Pratt. So like I didn't want to be like one of
that
those
is,
people.
You were, you know, kind of like stalkerish. That's weird. Like if a guy did that to like a princess, that's kind of weird. Yeah, that's
exactly.
True.
Exactly. But like, I didn't want to be one of those people because I really was like, I'm not like, I mean, I think Chris Pratt is not bad to look at, not going to lie. But you know, like I knew that wasn't Chris Pratt, and you know, like, I mean, I get the whole thing. So anyway, like I didn't want him to think that I was there for that. And then I was like fawning all over him. So I was like, okay, how am I going to do this without like, you know, him thinking
you got to show your wedding ring the whole time. Like, look, I'm married.
I know. Look, I promise I'm married.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, but so that was why it was so awkward. And I was like, what do I talk about? So we ended up just talking about music because I thought, okay, that'll be safe. Like, that's cool. You know?
Do you like NSYNC too? You know,
Yeah. That was after. So, you know. Star-Lord left in 1988. So anyway, but it was so cool to get to do that experience, I have to say. It was really neat. Baby Groot is absolutely adorable. I love Baby Groot. Oh my goodness. He's just the cutest thing ever. And he does, you know, he does his line, I am Groot, I am Groot. I have to say, the guy who played Star-Lord was fantastic. Oh my gosh, he was so good. He was so on point. He was Star-Lord. Like, he was the Chris Pratt interpretation of Star-Lord. Like, he had the dance moves. He kind of spoke like him. Like, he had everything down. He's the best one that I've seen. And I've seen a few pictures of them. He's the best one that I have seen out there. So kudos to that Star-Lord. He did awesome. And then I met BB-8 too, which was awesome as well. Because, you know, that's BB-8. And he's so adorable too. And, you know, I did both, you know, cute little droidy thing, you know, this trip. So
So you mentioned you were fawning over Star-Lord. But how do you interact with BB-8? How's that work? I mean, because obviously he beeps and boops, but he doesn't talk.
does. He has kind of a translator, a cast member who's a translator who kind of helps you through a little bit of it. So, like, that way you can get the gist of it. So, if you want to see my interaction with BB-8, I recorded a little bit of it, and it's on, I think I'm pretty sure it's on the Be Our Guest podcast Facebook page. So just scroll back a little bit and you'll be able to find it. So, but yeah, he beeps and boops, and you know, there's a cast member who kind of helps to interpret the beeps and boops. So.
How are the waits to meet these folks? Cause you know, sometimes that when these new characters are out for meet and greets, it gets to be obscene, but was it bad?
Yes. So the wait for BB-8 was not so bad. That was about, it said that the wait, I think, was 20. It might have said 25 as I got in line. I didn't wait 25 minutes. I waited maybe 15. The wait for Star-Lord, though, and Groot, that was, so they had the wait time posted as 30 when I got in line. And at that point, it was like, so what they do is it's this little bitty containment area, and they weave you through, and there's actually, it's so tiny that they put lines on the ground. It's like tape in a way, but it's fancy tape. It's themed tape, and it helps you guide your way through the path. And there's probably about four or five different queue lines that you go through with that. And, so I think that there was a malfunction at that point. Because I know I waited at least 20 minutes without moving. Once the malfunction worked its way out, then the line started moving. So in essence, I did wait about 30 to 35 minutes to meet Star-Lord and Groot. I think that would have been a lot less if the malfunction hadn't have happened. And I know that would have been less if that was the case. But I mean, that line, when I left, I mean, granted, I know that part of it was because there was something wrong, but I mean, it was going down pretty far into one man's dream. So, I mean, you know, people are excited to meet Groot and Star-Lord, I have to say. So if that's something that you want to do, make sure you get in line early for that one.
It wasn't a malfunction. You know, it was this crazy fangirl that they had to pepper spray totally. Or something. That's exactly what happened.
They loved on Baby Groot a little too much. I don't know.
That's crazy. All right. So close us out with your experience at the Brown Derby Lounge. No, this is all good stuff. No, but it's good stuff because hopefully it'll help people get ready for some new experiences this summer.
Yes. So I was going to leave and I was going to head over to Epcot, but I had about a 3-hour time window before I had to leave for my flight. So as I was getting ready to leave, I was hungry and I was going over to eat at Flower and Garden. And I just got to thinking, you know, it's going to be half an hour. You know, even if I walk fast, it's a half hour. Or if I take the boat, it's a half hour to get over there. And then I have to come back. So that's another half hour. So that's like an hour of me wasting time. And I'm here in Hollywood Studios. I might as well just stay here. So I was walking past the Hollywood Brown Derby Lounge, which is the outside part. And I saw that they had a couple tables open. So I was like, you know what? I'm by myself. I'm not going to get Brian to eat here with me probably. So I'll just go here by myself and eat here now. So I ended up getting a table. And it's like I said, it's all outside, which, you know, wasn't so bad. It was hot on Sunday, but it wasn't as bad as it was on Saturday. And again, I don't know if that's because I was in Animal Kingdom and it was Animal Kingdom hot or what, but it just didn't feel as hot in Hollywood Studios on Sunday. But I definitely was thirsty, so I drank a lot of water while I was sitting at my table. So I sat down, and so just know it is an outdoor experience. So if it is a hot day, you probably don't want to sit outside. And so I sat down. They have a bar there. You can just go for drinks if you want, you know, just to have a beverage or two. But I decided that I wanted to have a meal, so because I was hungry. So it's kind of like a small plates situation. So that's kind of something to keep in mind. You can't be super starving. I think you can get full, but you can't be like, you know, like I want to eat a rhino hungry, you know. You got to be like moderately hungry, you know. So I ended up getting the, what is that called? It's, now I'm blanking on what it is. Oh my gosh, hold on. Let me look it up on the actual menu.
You had the pork belly margarita flight first.
I just needed to deflect. It was pork belly. So I got the pork belly. And it was so good. Oh my gosh. Can I just tell you, it was delicious. It came with like this really great sauce on top of it. It was just fatty enough, but also had some lean pieces to it that were really good as well. It came with kind of like this spinach salad underneath it in a way. And it had some like chopped up mini like sweet potatoes type thing with it. And it also has some andouille sausage with it that was chopped up kind of small. It was, I have to say, it was really good. Like I don't usually eat vegetables. So like the spinach, I was like, okay, well it's on my plate, so I'm going to try it. And it was really good. You know, it didn't taste very spinachy, which I know is a strange comment, you know, thought, but, it didn't have like that, you know, ugh, spinach taste to it. The sausage was really good. The potatoes were really good with it. I just really thought it was stellar. It comes with a pico de gallo on it as well. I don't like cilantro at all. So I had them leave the pico de gallo off because like cilantro is ick. But I can't really see it. Like after seeing it and tasting it, I can't see how the pico de gallo would enhance it. Like, does that make sense? Like I really enjoyed it the way that it was. So I thought that the pico de gallo was kind of like not necessary, because I just enjoyed it. So it was a really, really great meal. Again, it was a small plate, so you know, it was not like super expensive, but it was not like super cheap either. It was like $14 for my piece of pork belly. It wasn't like a big piece either. Like it was like what we should be eating, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how they're, when they serve you a meal and it's the size of a like a saucer and like a huge plate, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but that's called round vacation. That's good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a vacation meal. It was like a normal size meal of what we're supposed to be eating in real life. So like in the end, I ended up leaving full, even though at first I was like, oh, it's kind of tiny, you know what I'm saying? Like I left feeling satisfied, so that was good. And you know, I could have gone over to, here was my thought process. I could have gone over to Pizza Planet, or not Pizza Planet. I could have gone over to Pizza Rizzo. It will always be Pizza Planet to me. I could have gone over there, gotten a crummy pizza, which I love, but most people don't. I could have gotten a crummy pizza and some limp salad for not much less than what I paid for this really intricate, delicious meal. It was worth it to me. So, you know, I totally had no problem stopping off. And I will go again, and hopefully I can convince Brian to go. They had some Derby sliders that I think he would actually really enjoy. So hopefully I can get him to go back, and I'm gonna definitely get the pork belly again. It was just really good. I very much enjoyed it. It was relaxing. I got to see the Star Wars shows take place. It was, from where I was sitting, it was a little obstructed, but there were definitely spots where if I had sat in a different location, I would have been able to see a lot better the shows. You know, so I saw both of them actually while I was sitting there. So, you know, I think it's a great thing. If you just want to, you know, have a nice drink or a nice little quick, you know, small bite meal that's not Pizza Planet or the awful, awful counter service that they have at Disney Hollywood Studios, consider stopping off at the Brown Derby for, you know, a quick nosh.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point here as we close it out that, you know, sometimes you got to kind of look at the economics of the thing. And like you said, you could have gone and gotten a counter service meal for, you know, X amount of money, but maybe for $5 or $10 more, you get to sit down at a table service.
And it wasn't even that much more. It was a few dollars more.
Especially
but yeah,
when
I mean, if
single.
You wanted one of the more expensive things, there were a couple things that were almost $20. So yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, you know, it's one of those things though, you can kind of think about it because you got a whole new experience. You got to eat it, you know, you weren't in the restaurant, but I mean, that's a signature restaurant, you know, but you're in the lounge,
right.
But I mean, it's still, it's a new experience. It's a fancier food. It's something, you know, like you can get that pizza anywhere. You can grab that at your food court later that night if you're having like a fourth meal, like you're hankering at midnight. You know, that's something you can do anytime where you're not going to get what you had many other places. So you got to look at the overall experience. And was it worth an extra $5? It sounds like it totally was.
Oh, it 100% was worth the extra $5. I would absolutely do it again too. So, yeah. I mean, it was totally worth it. It was just the most beautiful small plate ever. So, and it was so delicious. So,
and I'm jealous because you're there again right now.
I know.
Lucky dog. So where can people follow you? Because we love those updates. You did a great job last weekend and we're going to continue to be watching this weekend. Where should we be looking?
You should look at either at Ricky Nibs, it's RIKKINIBS, or that's on Instagram as well as Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook if you find me, or you can search the BRGS podcast. I'll be posting lots of updates on that as well, the Facebook page. Or, you know, I'll also be posting, both Pam and I will be posting on the Mouse for Less too. So, you know, they have an Instagram, they have Twitter, they have Facebook there too. So, you know, go check out that too for lots of fun stuff this weekend.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good time. Tell Pam we said hello and lots of fun memories.
Absolutely. Can't wait to share more about Pandora as well as Volcano Bay when we come back.
Sounds good. At least the Pandora part. All right. Don't forget.
Volcano Bay part.
Okay, yes, whatever. Yes. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to book that next Disney trip, remember, Walt Disney World's going to be awesome this summer. Still some great times to get down there, some great resorts, some great discounts even here and there. So drop me a line. Just go by themagicforless.com, fill out that free no obligation quote, let them know you heard about them here on the BR Guest podcast, and I'll put you together some numbers and we'll see what we can do to get you down there living like Ricky, you know, living La Vida Ricky, I guess you could say, you know, just to be a little crazy there and have a good time down at Walt Disney World. We're also brought to you by our great friend Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Do give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got a great Facebook group. It's going to be getting updated all weekend live from Walt Disney World over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And one more time, don't forget, if you're doing any online shopping on Amazon, on, you know, just getting anything for the summer, maybe you're getting a little, you know, small pool for the kids in the backyard, maybe getting some floaties for you. Actually, I saw this cool thing I'm going to have to get on Amazon. Jay put it in the Cruisers group, our Facebook group for the podcast Cruisers.
Yeah.
What's that thing called? It's like you sit in it and you just float in the ocean. It's kind of like a floaty diaper thing. I'm going to order
like
one of those on Amazon.
Thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think I might run the Castaway Key 5K in it, then just jump right into the ocean. But anyway, anytime you do your shopping on Amazon, please, it doesn't cost you anything extra. It's a great way to support the podcast. Go through our link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, and we appreciate that very, very much. All right, time to get out of here and let you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Get out there and have some fun. And again, thank you to all who serve and who have served, and especially those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. We are the greatest country in the world. I truly believe that. Of course, I am a United States citizen, but I love our country and I love those who serve to make it as awesome as it is. So thank you to everyone who has done that. All right. So we are going to get out of here. Have a great kickoff to your summer. We'll be back again on Monday. We don't take Memorial Day off. We come back and talk Disney.
No, so for, we don't.
That's exactly it. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Have some fun, but stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.